a thousand planets and spreading out.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
To the Batmobiles.
May the force be with you.
Who is that masked man?
Avengers, assemble.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Fantastic Forum. I'm Ulysses E. Campbell. As always, we'll begin the show with some genre-related news. Yesterday's planned launch of the SpaceX Falcon Heavy rocket was scrubbed due to bad weather. This was the fourth such delay this week. The Heavy Falcon had been scheduled to lift off on Monday, April 24th, carrying three satellites. Viasat 3 Americas, a 14,000-pound broadband satellite that will be operated by California-based company Viasat. Arcturus, a communications craft that will be operated by San Francisco-based Astranis Space Technologies. And GS-1, a CubeSat that will be operated by Washington-based Gravity Space. This was to have been the sixth Falcon Heavy mission. The earlier launch of a Falcon 9 rocket carrying two 03B internet satellites took place as scheduled. Had both launches taken off as scheduled, it would have been the shortest span between two SpaceX missions in the company's history, and the shortest turnaround between two orbital class launches from Cape Canaveral since 1966. An updated launch window for the Falcon Heavy was not immediately announced. The Hollywood Chamber of Commerce announced earlier this week that Carrie Fisher will be posthumously honored with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Best known for her role as Princess Leia in the Star Wars trilogy, Fisher will have her name memorialized on Hollywood Boulevard near the El Capitan Theater on May 4th, Star Wars Day. She joins Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford, who already have stars on the Walk of Fame. In addition to her acting credits, Fisher boasted a successful writing career, publishing three novels, two memoirs, and the screenplay for the 1990 Meryl Streep film Postcards from the Edge. She was also one of the most sought-after script doctors in Hollywood, rewriting such hit movies as Hook, Sister Act, and The Wedding Singer. Fisher's daughter, Billie Lord, will accept the star on her mother's behalf. New trailers dropped this week for The Flash, Transformers, Rise of the Beasts, and The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. You can view the trailers and teaser on one of the FF social media pages. And while you're there, if you haven't already, follow us on Instagram and Twitter and like us on Facebook. We like to be followed and we love to be liked. The Flash opens in theaters on June 16th. Transformers Rise of the Beasts makes its theatrical debut on June 9th. And The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, opens in theaters on November 17th. April 26th was World Alien Day. It was first celebrated in 2015 as an unofficial holiday in Brooklyn, New York, by a group of folks who aimed to glorify the world of science fiction. And April 28th was National Superhero Day. Founded by Marvel in 1995, National Superhero Day is all about celebrating all those super characters you love. It also recognizes those who we look up to every day, no matter if they wear masks, capes, scrubs, or uniforms. Everyone has someone they think of as a superhero. The Super Mario Brothers movie has dominated the box office since its release 21 days ago. The film is projected as the first of 2023 to reach $1 billion worldwide by the end of this weekend. However, it will face stiffer competition next week from the latest Marvel Cinematic Universe film, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which opens on Friday, May 5th. Here is the official, spoiler-free FF review. Ulysses Campbell for Fantastic Forum. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, the latest from Marvel Studios, concludes the story of the oddball intergalactic heroes introduced to movie audiences in 2014. James Gunn delivers an enjoyable and satisfying conclusion to this trilogy. Essentially more of the same, but focusing on the backstory of Rocket Raccoon, the action-packed GOTG3 delivers the feels for fans of the series and the MCU. The film opens with an attack on Nowhere, the enormous severed head of an ancient celestial being, which serves as an interdimensional crossroads, scientific observatory, as well as the Guardian's base of operations. The Guardians successfully repel the assault, but not before Rocket is mortally wounded. The team must undertake a dangerous mission to recover critical data related to Rocket's mysterious origins that will allow them to save their friend and teammate. Can the Guardians unravel the secrets of Rocket's past before he succumbs to his injuries? Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 reunites cast from previous films. Reprising their roles are stars Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Dave Bautista, Karen Gillian, Palm Clementeef, and the voices of Vin Diesel and Bradley Cooper. Also returning are Sean Gunn and Sylvester Stallone. Joining the cast are Maria Bakalova as Cosmo the Space Dog, Elizabeth Debicki as Aisha, Will Poulter as Adam Warlock, and Chukwudi Iwuji as the High Evolutionary. The principal performers are obviously comfortable with each other and the material. They return to their established characters as easily as slipping on old clothes. Bradley Cooper, with more material in this installment, gives a compelling vocal performance as Rocket. Among the newcomers, Chukwudi Iwuji stood out for me as the High Evolutionary. There was plenty of Marvel Comics fan service in this movie. The mere presence of characters such as Warlock, the High Evolutionary, and Cosmo the Space Dog is going to excite comics fans. You will also hear references to some obscure Marvel characters, and there are locations that will be familiar to readers of the comic source material. Perhaps more importantly, James Gunn gives the audience more of what made this corner of the MCU into an unlikely success. Look for the familiar comedic elements interspersed with high-stakes drama, big-time action, and emotional resonance. And there is what I call the James Gunn misdirection in the unexpected way events and circumstances unfold. There's a lot happening in this movie, but Gunn keeps things well organized enough to minimize confusion. As he accomplished in DC's The Suicide Squad and Peacemaker, Gunn is able to leverage more obscure or lesser-known characters into audience favorites or provide moments in which we learn something about characters we thought we knew. Since Volume 2, what we have seen of this team has been either in an Avengers or Thor movie or as a TV special. But in GOTG3, Gunn reminds audiences why they came to care about and root for the likes of a tree and a raccoon. Another prominent and important element was heroism. Many contemporary projects feature leads either with feet of clay or who lose their way. Contrast that with the Guardians of the Galaxy, who continually demonstrate true heroic character. Something else that sets this film apart from some other recent MCU pictures is the quality of the CGI. Greater time and care were taken to ensure the visuals withstand scrutiny. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 has a runtime of 2 hours and 30 minutes, but the film moves along at a brisk enough pace that the length wasn't a problem. It is rated PG-13 as an action-adventure comedy. There is no nudity or sex, and questionable language is minimal. Not particularly violent, although there are some sequences that can be described as intense. I would avoid taking kids younger than about 11 or 12. This was a very entertaining movie. If you enjoyed the first two in the series, you will not be disappointed. James Gunn goes out on a high note with Marvel, the best of the Guardians trilogy. 3 stars out of 4. Ulysses Campbell for Fantastic Four. And there you have it. The spoiler-free FF review of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, which opens nationwide on May 5th. Today, we're talking about some of the news items from this week and more. Joining me are Julian Lytle, Mike Lunsford, and Black Gorbachev, Philip Jean-Pierre. Everybody, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Yo. Hello.
Yeah,
thanks
well,
for having me.
Hey, everybody, thanks for coming on. So in terms of some of this stuff from earlier this week, and there was one very conspicuous absence that I made that I'll circle back around to. But I thought we'd lead with Carrie Fisher finally getting her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And, you know, long overdue, and regrettably, it's posthumous, so she doesn't get to see it or share in it, but I think it's wonderful. And in fact, also, her mother, Debbie Reynolds, doesn't get to share in it. And that was a tragedy in itself, because no parent should have to bury a child. And Debbie Reynolds did all those arrangements and got her child in the ground and died the next day. That was like, damn, you know. Anyway, though, but Billy Lord accepting on behalf of her mother, and I haven't seen anybody other than Mark Hamill, but he's been very gracious in terms of his comments. And a lot of people may not even be aware of, outside of the acting, the impact that Carrie Fisher had on the Hollywood community. Because when I found out, and I've known, actually, I didn't find out till she died. But when I found out about her being a script doctor, because you can make a lot of money as a script doctor. And apparently she was one of the best and most sought after script doctors in Hollywood. So anyway, all that to say, long overdue, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm glad she got her star. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised it's weird about the whole star thing. Like, certain people get it, and they seem super fast, and then you see other people who's like, yo, shouldn't they have that, like, 25 years ago? Like, shouldn't she have had that by now? Like, you'd think she would have got that in, like, the 90s?
You would think. I mean, the fact that, like, the likes of Ryan Seacrest got one before her.
Hey, I mean, she has was on the most popular show in the world for, like, full 5 years straight. Then he was on Live in the Morning with him and Kelly, you know what I'm saying?
So you're saying it's justified.
He's a new Dick Clark. Yeah, it is.
I mean, I gotta tell you, the first time I saw Carrie Fisher after Star Wars, she was playing the best friend in When Harry Met Sally, which it feels like an obscure role, but when you watch it, you sit there and go, yeah, that's Carrie Fisher right there. I don't know if anyone ever, like, but she plays the best friend in that, and it's just hilarious that she's been working this long consistently and didn't have one star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, well, I got to feel.
I was going to say
it's a money thing, isn't it?
Yeah, you do have to pay for your star.
Yeah. So, sure. I mean, I wonder how much it actually means to the actors. I mean, I get it. Like, it's, you know, it's great because people who are not from Hollywood are like, oh, look, there's all these cool things on the sidewalks, but like. Mm-hmm. Does it really matter to an actor to have a quote unquote prestigious honor when you have to come out of pocket for it? Like, it just seems.
I mean, you could say the same thing about James Hong. He recently got his. I don't know if it's this year. He recently got this year, and that's because of Daniel Day Kim, I'm sorry, who basically led a campaign to get him that one. So I guess technically you can pay for it, but I guess you still have to get invited.
Well, that's
pay
true.
For it, which is
that's true. And Philip, I'm glad you mentioned that, because
they will take your money now.
Yeah, well, yeah, because in addition to the money, you do have to be supported, because the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce has got to approve you for this thing. And you know, it's kind of sad, because like all the Star Trek people, for example, except Walter Koenig, had a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. And somebody on the Chamber of Commerce in Hollywood was like, nah, but we're tied to Star Trek. Nah, he don't get one. You know?
And it's like, wow. Yeah.
Well, whoever was the last one, it was just messed up. I mean, they were like, nah, we're tired of this. We don't want no more Star Trek. He don't get one, you know? And I don't actually know if I'm going to have to look this up. I don't know if he's gotten one to this day. Or I might have heard about that if they relented and decided to give him one. But yeah, I mean, as with most things, it takes a certain amount of politicking. But I've got to believe that anybody who works in Hollywood, you know, because you walk along that Hollywood Walk of Fame and you're seeing people like Humphrey Bogart, you know, down there. I mean, it's got to be. the tiniest bit meaningful. I mean, again, and all right, I appreciate what you're saying, Julian. All right, but I'm still like Ryan Seacrest.
You said Seacrest. You said William Hung. You mean James my guy from that from the Hangover?
No, not that. The older guy.
The older James Hung.
Wait, Lopez just got one?
He just got one.
Yeah. Lopez? See, again, Lopez should have had one by like 88.
Yeah, he should have got longer than that. He should have got longer in the 70s. He just, like I said, Daniel Day-Kim was like, I'm making this happen. I don't care.
I'm assuming that means Daniel Day-Kim has one too.
Probably not. He probably got that juice though.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he got the Chamber of Commerce to say yes, and he actually had a Kickstarter or GoFundMe to actually put the bill for James Hong. I mean, it wasn't a big stretch because, you know, the man is a legend. It was just, I think everybody was like, Julian, like, he didn't have one yet.
Yo, I'm blown. But yeah, yo, Ryan Seacrest though, come on, he gave us the Kardashian show. How much Hollywood money he made in Hollywood? Yeah, he deserves his stuff. He first ballot. This was like a Hall of Fame for NFL or NBA. First ballot entry.
Oh, James,
I'm not saying over. I'm saying like he deserve it. It's up to the people who pick. But like he deserve it.
Okay. Well, now check this out, all right? Because I'm on the Hollywood Walk of Fame site, and apparently Martin Lawrence
just got one.
Yes, Michael B. Jordan is getting ready to get one.
You know what I'm saying? He brought Rocky back. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Courtney Cox just got one in February. Apparently,
yeah, that's crazy.
Courtney Cox makes sense. Courtney Cox does make sense.
Yeah, but I mean the fact that she's just getting it in February of this year, though.
I know, right? I mean,
that's kind of like really, wow.
See,
you know?
I kind of wonder if they do the thing where it's like they send out the invitations and the stars finally go, yeah, I guess I'll finally do it now. Might as well. I got the money.
Now's
the time to do it. Yeah.
No, I mean they got to say you can have one. I mean, Courtney Cox probably wanted one. I mean, God knows how many of these other friends people got it. Hold that thought for a minute. You're listening to Fantastic Forum on WERA Arlington 96.7 FM and streaming at WERA.FM. We are your community radio station. I'm Ulysses E. Campbell. I'm joined today by Black Gorbachev, Philip Jean-Pierre, Mike Lunsford, and Julian Lytle. We were just talking a little bit about the Hollywood Walk of Fame and how actress and writer Carrie Fisher is getting ready to be honored with a star on that storied walk later. Actually, I guess next week. Because it's still this week now, so yeah, that's like I said, that's a heck of a thing, and I guess my surprise is
she like it was probably one of the most important sci-fi movies of a generation, and I was like, now she's just getting one, like I mean, come on,
yeah.
But then the Hollywood Walk of Fame always was a mystery, so. And just for record, Koenig actually did get his Hollywood Walk of Fame between 2012-2015, I believe. So
okay. Well, like I said, I'm sure I heard about this when he got it, you know, because they had been blocking him for so long.
And like I said, the Carrie Fisher thing is actually pretty cool. Like, I would go just to see Carrie Fisher star. I'm not going to lie. I would go to see Carrie Fisher star. Because I wouldn't say it's like the opposite of her character, but that kind of, I don't know, you tell me, that kind of grandiose effort, I think we're pretty much being like, I'm just trying to do my job, leave me alone, people. Because I remember an interview she did on the Today Show where she spent almost a full 5 minutes talking about her dog.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where it's like, don't you have a movie coming out and you're going to just talk about your dog the entire time you're here?
This is Today Show, man. It's not like it's serious. I get it.
They used to have Hoda Kotb and Kathy Lee
just get like, drunk.
Like, exactly, at like 11 o'clock in the morning, just drinking Chardonnay. Yeah, come on.
First of all, that was the best thing ever. You sitting just going, they got to be drunk. Oh, this early in the morning? Like, man, this is a wedding.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Check this out. All right. So I am looking up some stuff on it. A candidate must first be nominated and then consent to the nomination and then pay $40,000 for the star. They also have to pass $40,000. Yes. They have to pass a thorough examination of their career, awards, and charity work, and then attend a public ceremony for the star's unveiling within 5 years of their nomination. Now, these are some stars who don't have stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt, Leonardo DiCaprio, Beyonce, let's see, Madonna, Julia Roberts.
I guess being a goodwill ambassador for UN don't care.
George Clooney. Yeah, Kanye West, Oprah does not have a star, Robert De Niro. Look, I mean, this is so clearly there is something to the process.
I bet you that Bobby De Niro did just say I don't care and didn't respond back to the invitations.
Probably.
Well, now, like he's like, I got Tribeca, baby. I got Tribeca Film Festival. I don't need your star.
Yeah. Oh, well, excuse me. And here's some more. There are some people who have turned them down. Julia Roberts doesn't have one because she turned it down. Clint Eastwood turned it down.
Dang.
Really? Yeah.
Oh, okay. Bruce Springsteen accepted his, but then he didn't show up for the ceremony.
Wow. Honestly, that fits. That's legitimately fits. Every time Bruce Springsteen shows up somewhere, he looked like he just showed up all... don't get me wrong, I love Bruce Springsteen, but he looked like he was on a five-day bender before he showed up in the parents. So it was like, what's up, people?
I get up in the evening.
He's a great performer. I've seen his shows. Man, it's great. But he literally is like, man, he's a cool dude. He's just sitting there just going, bro, you could have shaved for this one, couldn't you?
Looked like he just rolled out of bed. Mm-hmm. Well, the boss is from New Jersey, so we do things a little different.
And it's a bother to him. It's like, literally, why are you people bothering me with this? I'm from New Jersey. I'm the boss. Why am I being bothered with this?
Oh, my goodness. Hey, all right. So, look, something else that I had wanted to talk about today. We've seen a bunch of trailers drop this week. I mentioned some, didn't mention all of them, but some of the stuff looked really cool. And in fact, I just found out the details on this Hunger Games prequel that they're doing. Because and my daughter was talking about it last night, because, wife and kids have read, I read the books too, but the wife and kids got me into it, reading those books. And Suzanne Cook was the author of those?
Yeah.
Is that it? Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
And I tell you what, I loved those books. I really did. And I think it's interesting that they're doing this prequel that focuses on President Snow and his rise throughout the ranks of Panem, you know? But the trailer looked really great. Obviously, this is something they're spending a bunch of money on. And Julie and I were talking a little bit about remakes and prequels and all of this stuff before the show started. You had some very interesting insight.
Other than me complaining about how Perry Mason is not Perry Mason? Yeah, I guess.
Well, even that, because let's face it, there's some stuff that doesn't need to be remade.
Oh, they're remaking it wrong. They're remaking it wrong.
I gotta tell you right now, I'm gonna throw in White Man Can't Jump with one of those movies that don't need to be remade.
Thank you.
I agree.
But I'm still gonna watch it though. I got. You know what I'm saying? The person
and
who
that's
directed
why
it,
they're making it.
The person who directed it directed the new House Party, and the new House Party surprised me. It was pretty fun. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna see what they're gonna do.
Mm. Hey, were Kid and Play in the new House Party? Did they at least do cameos?
And they made it.
Okay, all right. I hope it was like as somebody's dad.
The thing of it is, in this movie, House Party was a movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. I might actually have to see that.
I'm not going to lie to you. The only thing I care about this month is coming out May 19th. That's all I care about. And that was coming out May 19th is Fast X. That's the only thing I care about.
Well, they got another Fast and Furious movie coming out?
How you missed it? Yeah. You got a whole trailer this week.
I don't pay any attention to it.
Why do you not pay attention to the family in the best superhero franchise that exists?
Exactly.
I'm sorry. Exactly. Those movies didn't hold my attention.
Didn't hold your attention.
They didn't hold my attention.
What are you talking about? They drop cars out of planes like it's G.I. Joe and they land. They fight people. They do amazing feats. It was the Dungeons and Dragons movie before the Dungeons and Dragons movie.
Okay.
I gotta tell you right now, the best thing about Vin Diesel's universe is they just solved the gas crisis.
take him in space.
Yep. And you sit there. The best thing about it is, if you start a movie one, by the time you get to a car in space, you're sitting there going, tracks. Makes sense. I don't see why anybody arguing with it.
Exactly.
If you watch it in between, like, I'll give you, if you start at three, you can kind of keep up. But every people I know who saw this goes, ooh, I'm going to just watch this right now. And I'm going, this don't make any sense. That's because you didn't watch it from the beginning.
That's right. It's like 20 said, years.
You got to watch. Like, if you're going to create a universe like that, you got to watch it from the beginning, like a comic book. Mm-hmm. You can't become in the middle of a miniseries going, this don't make sense, and only read and didn't read the first nine.
Yeah, don't complain about it not making any. It doesn't make any sense because you haven't been following it.
Yeah, you can jump in at five, though.
That's true.
You can jump in at five.
Yeah. Five is the big change. Five is the big timeline shift that kind of you start to realize.
It's like a rebuild of what the franchise was. From car racing to... Oh, they're just... It's literally like just
espionage.
Mass.
Okay.
No, it's like...
Oh, Mass. I remember that. Yeah.
Mobile Action Suit Command. Yeah, this is what it is.
And honestly, this new trailer...
Beautiful.
I mean, Jason Statham, legit. I don't know. Maybe I think I heard Julian say it. Straight anime villain style. You see, yeah, really?
That's right. He's a transporter. I like because they got the director, the transporter, doing these movies now. So it's like, oh, you know, Jason Statham going off in this.
Hey, quick question for you though. So, Paul Walker, because I know in the very beginning,
rest in peace to the God.
Yep.
Okay. So wait. So when? What was his last one that he
seven.
Did? Seven. Oh, okay. All right. Because I wasn't sure, because you all were talking about you can watch it from five. Yeah. And so I wasn't sure if maybe, you know, he wasn't gone before five, but if seven, so he's still important.
He's the only one he's not in is three of the original, before he unfortunately passed away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, like, he's in six other ones. He's like, he's actually the main character.
Yeah, well, I remember that from the first one. And then he wasn't in two, right?
No, he's the main character, too.
Oh, okay.
Vin Diesel, not in two. Because he wanted to make XXX and be a star.
Okay, well, wait, was it... Because I thought the Tokyo... Well, that was three.
That's three.
Okay, he's not in that one.
He's not in that one.
Okay, all right. See, and I'll tell you what. That
Vin
was
Diesel's
actually,
in that one.
Oh, okay. See, that was actually the one that... Because I saw one, and I think I kind of liked it. But then, I think I missed two, but then I saw three, and I was like, why y'all wasting my time?
I think that's the best thing about three.
Is
beloved.
Yeah, because really? it's about a specific culture. Like, if you wasn't into like watching Japanese drifting videos on the internet and real player videos, because that's what we was on.
Mm-hmm.
This is pre YouTube. Finding videos of them Japanese cats drifting down a mountain, making their cars moonwalk down a mountain like Michael Jackson. You know what I'm saying? And you
we
out
didn't
here
know
like
existed until that movie.
Tokyo Drift.
And then they made a movie. Oh, come on, that movie was important.
Tokyo
Sean Boswell.
Drift. Okay.
What?
School
the Drift
School
King.
Me.
Sonny Chiba is the Yakuza boss.
Sonny Chiba.
Flip a table over.
Sonny Chiba.
I did not know Sonny Chiba.
He's the Yakuza boss. He's the best. He's the big boss.
I haven't
seen that movie in so long, and I forgot that he was in that. Yeah.
Bow Wow.
Yeah, exactly. The Bow Wow part makes no sense.
It makes sense that the legendary Street Fighter is the guy who runs the streets in Tokyo.
I may have to give these things another try.
Lucas Black came out of nowhere because I was like, oh, I remember that boy when he was a kid, and then he took this motor like going, yeah,
that's
I'm gonna ride with this. I'm gonna ride with Lucas Black on this one.
That's right. Learn from Han? What?
Yep.
The coolest Korean dude in all of American cinema for 25 years?
Literally, you don't know how hot I was when they killed him when he comes back in 10, you can say. But in 3, something happens to him. I'm like, you don't know how mad I was.
That's why I had to come back, Philip. That's why I had to bring him back.
You know I was hot. Like, literally, he's like, he coming back. I got to tell I see it. I ain't gonna believe you. like I said, that's the fun part about Fast and the entire franchise. You literally get invested in everyone and make fun of the comment, the content of, like, quote unquote, the family. It's fun. It's a fun movie, which honestly, like, you need that kind of release when you watch a movie.
They was doing that before the Guardians of the Galaxy was talking about found family. They was already doing it in the streets of Los Angeles.
Yup.
Vroom.
Yeah, I may actually have to give all this another shot, you know. Hey, hold that thought just a moment, Philip, because that musical cue means it's time for us to take a short break, because Fantastic Forum comes to you via WERA 96.7 FM in Arlington, Virginia. We're a community radio station, and that means we got to keep the lights on some kind of way. Visit the website at WERA.FM. Find out how you can get involved. We have classes. You want to have a show? You might be able to have a show. You want to find out about television? Because we got TV over here, too. Arlington Independent Media, our parent organization, we've got their patties dipped into all kinds of things. In fact, you're looking for a youth journalism class for your kids? We've got it. You can check it out. Visit the website at WERA.FM or that of our parent organization, Arlington Independent Media, at arlingtonmedia.org. Find out how you can get involved in community media today. So, on that note, we're going to pause momentarily because we've got some promotions for some other wonderful WERA programming that is coming up later today. But stick around, because Julian and Mike and Black Gorbachev and I are going to be back with more talk of, we might even talk about Disney suing the state of Florida. So stick around. You're not going to want to miss that. And welcome back to the Fantastic Forum here on WERA 96.7 FM and streaming at WERA.FM. Radio Arlington. I'm Ulysses E. Campbell. I'm joined today by... Who am I joined by? Black Gorbachev, Philip Jean-Pierre, Mike Lunsford, and Julian Lytle. And when we took the break, we were talking a little bit about apparently the beloved movie series that so there was a trailer that dropped for this new, say, Fast and the Furious X
10 Fast 10
Fast 10 okay, all right,
there's two trailers dropped. Yeah, and also forgot to mention, as part of the franchise, the Black Power Ranger does count as a member of the franchise as well. Walter Emmanuel Jones.
No, he doesn't.
He's in Tokyo Drift. I don't know.
Just because he's in Tokyo Drift don't mean part of the family. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he's part of the franchise.
Let him live in as his rightful place as the original Black Power Ranger, who just recently had a starring role in Once and Always, the 30th anniversary Mighty Morphin Power Ranger special. But yeah, it's CinemaCon. That's why we got all these beautiful trailers, Ulysses. That's why we got that Fast 10 trailer from Universal Studios. Had to put people on notice of what time it is. He's driving down Hoover Dam and it's exploding, and he's out running it. It looks lit, beyond lit.
Like, Hoover Dam is exploding.
That's right. He just whipping down that joint with the charger.
Do I believe it? Do I believe it? 100%.
Oh my goodness!
I believe it's possible.
Hey,
this is what I don't get. We are literally watching a talking raccoon in space, and y'all mad at Vin Diesel?
I ain't mad at Vin Diesel.
y'all got talking tree.
I ain't mad at Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel can get it. He need to get his money. It's like, yo, I ain't mad at nobody getting their money. Okay,
doing it for the streets.
The movie franchise, so they go one line and a tree, and y'all okay with that? But Vin Diesel got a car that can drive the side down the side of a dam. They're like, oh, that's not real. It can't possibly happen.
I ain't got nothing against Vin Diesel. Don't be putting that on me, man. I need his money.
I need you to sit down and give it a chance. Give these. I don't even know you haven't watched these movies. If you actually like action movies that got actual good CG in it.
I've seen parts of some of them. You know, in fact, what was it? Gal Gadot was in one of these things.
No, she was in more than one. She was in like three.
Well, 5 through 7, wasn't she?
4. She debuted in 4.
Okay.
4, 5, and 6.
Okay, so what was the one? Because I'll tell you, there was one at the end. They were trying to, well, I forget what they were trying to do, but there was a cargo plane.
6.
There was, okay, all right, so that was 6. And, you know, some people
were
being...
So Furious 6, because they alternate. Mm-hmm. Instead of always saying the entire thing after a certain point, because they got so many, they alternate.
Fast something, Furious something.
This, okay. And then, you know, it was like, fast you know, that, 8 was the fate of the Furious, with the 8 in the, it would be time to F8. Let's go. If I had a table, we flipped over right now.
I mean, it's the market-wise, it's one of the greatest marketing of a franchise ever. Like, I just sit there and just go, 20 years and it's
20 plus years,
and it still feel new.
The second one just turned 20. Mm. How about that? Mm. And we got another one to go. We got the final one to go. We got 11. F11.
See, I had thought 9 was going to be the last one. Nah, but it keeps making money.
Once they got past 8, they knew he wants to go to at least 10, but he knew, like, you can't end this all in 10, so we got to do 2 more. So after 9, they knew they was going to do 2 more.
But Fast X is a 2-parter. Supposedly, it's a 2-part.
But you could give you fair one. But you could conceivably keep making these as long as people are willing to go see them, right?
Who says they ain't? Just what I'm saying. This era of is over. You know what I'm saying? If you watch the movies, you know there's children involved now.
Oh.
And what happens with children?
They grow up.
Exactly. Oh, and the streets are still out here.
I got to tell you, man, when they had them actors playing Vin Diesel and John Cena's kids.
I wanted a TV show, Philip. I was like, put that on Peacock right now.
But what are they going to do in about another 40 years when it's all self-driving cars? It's all autonomous vehicles.
That makes the stakes even higher. Makes it even more premium that people can drive.
Ulysses, that's going to be the story. It's going to be the Fast Family versus the self-driving car. That's going to be your next movie.
People always wonder if they would put Transformers and Fast together, and I was like, they should do it.
That's how they could do it, for sure.
Because if you have freaking Optimus Prime and freaking Dominic Toretto in the same movie, and Dominic's talking about family, and Optimus Prime's like, for all the sentient beings in the universe. Be like, you got daggone right. You got daggone right. We got destroyed Megatron.
If there was a table, you would flip it over.
Oh, God.
Trying out Bumblebee being in the Fast Family his entire time, didn't tell nobody.
Or like, that's right, the Stunicons, the family versus the Stunicons, Menasor. What? Is it, what? Mm. The family's driving the Protector Bots? Let's go. Get me in the room with Vin Diesel. We can make this work.
That's the best part about that franchise. No doubt. You can do almost anything now.
Anything.
Well, you know, I guess if you've taken a car into outer space, you really can. You can do just about anything.
Seal all the open parts.
Yeah. What is it? Disbelief is officially suspended. So, anyway, so check out the trailer for Fast 10 and this new Hunger Games thing, and of course The Flash, you know, which some people are mad about, but hey, you know. What were you going to say? What were you going to say, Mike?
I can't get mad at it. Like, I want to be because of Ezra Miller and because of all that nonsense that they brought up, but, like, it looks really good, and I'm mad that I want to go see it.
You shouldn't be mad, Mike. You shouldn't be mad.
It's okay. I mean,
I've also been waiting for like a decade for this movie to come out. So,
I mean, I'm not mad. I'm gonna watch it. I ain't gonna pay for it, but I'm gonna watch it. As soon as it hits streaming, I'll be like, sweet, I'm gonna watch this movie now. That's my form of protest. All I really care about was the trailer for the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie that also dropped as well.
Another one.
Yeah, they have another one, and it looks amazing. I'm not gonna lie, it looks amazing.
We'll see.
How did
I miss this?
Yeah, because people really weren't talking about that as heavy as some of the other trailers. Mm-hmm. But the Flash thing, it doesn't bother me. I actually do kind of hope it does well. It's a lot of Batman in that movie.
Yeah, well,
and I mean, it's two
basically Flashpoint.
With a lot more Batman in it.
Yeah, yes. Well, and that's why the movie is tested off the hook. No, the reason that I have heard that people are angry is because Leslie Grace's Batgirl movie got canceled, but here's Ezra Miller, and you know they've been involved in all this craziness, and the movie ain't been canceled. Now look, I look, I'm not mad because the movie is testing through the roof. So of course Warner Brothers is like, no, we want to release this. And people don't understand it's a business decision. There was only $90 million that got spent on Leslie Grace's movie. Mm-hmm. They spent way more.
200.
You know, and the movie is testing well.
200.
Yeah. So, but again, people. Well, but Leslie Grace got her movie canceled, and Ezra Miller. And it's like, nah, you can't. That's not how you make this. It's a business decision.
I do think it's a trash decision because I don't believe what they say that it's completely garbage. Because I don't.
Well, I don't think the movie was garbage at all.
They put out too many other movies that I know is trash.
Yeah. No, it's the debt. It's the debt from that Discovery merger.
That
you know,
that little
they got
90
billion. No,
that,
you're right.
That little 90 billion ain't enough. You can go kill. How about you kill some of them wacko Discovery shows that nobody want to see? Kill some of them.
And not only that too. Like, talk about not reading the room. Brendan Fraser just won an Academy Award, and you're going to nix the movie that he's in instead of like maybe delaying it. And like there could have been so many things that they could have done to make money off of this. And like it's a cop out. It like, oh, we're in debt and we had to. It was a tax move. Whatever, man, nonsense. Like, that's part of it, but they use it as a convenient excuse for a lot of other dumb stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not justifying any of it, and if I had David Zaslav here, I would ask him about it. Yeah. It's like, dude, why did this make sense? You know, but I mean, $50 billion is $50 billion, and you gotta, you know, hey, you might only be shaving stuff off of it, but somehow you gotta service that debt.
But the problem is, it's a short-term answer for a long-term problem. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you got Brendan Fraser. Who do you want to bank a franchise on? Do you want to blank it on Ezra Miller's Flash, or do you want to bank it on Batgirl?
Well, and Batman was in Batgirl, too. They had some Batman in
that,
too.
But he's not as important to the plot.
No, but he was in it.
You got way more Michael Keaton in one versus the other.
Yeah.
So it's a certain thing where one is going to be a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
I think Batgirl was going to be, but Flash is just going to be the Flash. Remember, we still getting a reboot. So yeah,
they can't bank on any of them specifically because now that Gunn is in charge of the whole thing when it comes to DC movies, like this may not even matter. Like, I'm not saying not matter as far as like how it does financially, but I'm saying as far as storyline, as far as characters, as far as actors, like this may be the hard reset that starts the whole thing. And will we see more stuff with the Flash? Yeah, but I guarantee you, we're not going to see Ezra as the Flash again.
I mean, the thing I watched when I watched that Flash trailer, the first thing it was, that's a really great Batman trailer.
Yeah, right.
There is a whole lot of Batman in it, and I don't mean like a sprinkling. Like, legitimately, it's like it may be Flash, it may be based on the Flashpoint, but it's Batman's Flashpoint. Because I'm sitting there going, you got Michael Keaton and Ben Affleck in this movie?
Yeah. Ben Affleck got the gray and blue on too. Mm-hmm. You see him with the gray and blue outfit racing down the cars, doing some Batman stuff, chasing down some robbers. I was like, yo, why Ben, come back, bro.
I liked him.
It's a Batman trailer. Yeah,
I liked him.
Mm-hmm. I was actually happy with. I actually thought he portrayed Batman well. I know a lot of people had issues with him. I don't know why.
Because people be hating on Ben Affleck for no reason.
That's true. I mean, don't get me wrong. He ain't Michael Keaton. He ain't Michael Keaton, but, I mean, you know, he ain't Michael Keaton, but I bet Affleck did all right. He held his own.
I think the best part of this movie is the swerve they did on, for what's her name? The young actress's name? Is it Kylie? I forgot her name. It is not Supergirl, but it's actually Superwoman.
Oh, yeah, Sasha. Sasha.
Kylie. That's the fact that it is Superwoman and not Supergirl. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that switch.
Did you see the shout out to Crisis in that one?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of random stuff in there. Yeah. That was nice. I was like, oh, okay. So she fighting Zod. Let's see. She going to put him in a... In the King of Diamonds, you know what I'm saying? KOD from Bianca Belair. Let's see if she put Michael Shannon through the ground real fast.
You saying KOB?
Wow, put him through the ground, because even the trailer, Michael Shannon getting worked. I'm like,
put somebody on his shoulders and just bam, right in the face.
I'm like, the Superman was not giving you that business in his movie. Yo, she come in was like, nah, hold that. Go into that wall real fast. Let me see them ribs. I like them ribs.
I mean, it's a good trailer. Like, this is, like I said, it's been a good trailer. Like, I finally got around to seeing Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I think that's a June release coming up. So.
Yeah, it comes out. It's amazing.
So I'm ridiculously excited about that one.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff to come out of CinemaCon. You're listening to Fantastic Forum on WERA 96.7 FM and streaming on WERA.FM. We are Arlington. I'm Ulysses E. Campbell. I'm joined today by Black Gorbachev, Philip Jean-Pierre, Julian Lytle, and Mike Lunsford. And for the few minutes we have left, I wanted to circle back around because I didn't make a news item out of it, even though I noted it. And it is this ongoing culture war between, well, I was going to say the state of Florida, but let's face it, it's not state of Florida, it's the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis. And, you know, I'd really love it if there was a drag queen named Rhonda Santis. I think there needs to be. But, yes, so governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, who has taken on Disney, tortious interference with Disney's business. Disney had one-upped him because they got the council, the county council or whatever, you know, that oversees their district to cede all authority to them on their way out the door. And these new people who were appointed by Ron DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, they feel like, wow, hey, we had the wool pulled over our eyes. But apparently it was all perfectly legal what Disney did. And now he's trying to overturn it. And so it was announced this week that Disney has now filed suit against the state of Florida, alleging essentially political retaliation. So I'm wondering what you all think of that. And Mike, I know you got some thoughts, so let's start with you.
It's hilarious to me that somebody who has been a politician for some time now has no idea how the largest employer in his state functioned. How one of the biggest cash cows in the state of Florida worked, that he thought he was going to be able to drop this on Disney and be like, I'm going to win, and there's nothing they can do about it, not knowing that they have an army of lawyers that can fine-tooth comb every single detail, find every single legal loophole, that Disney wasn't going to come back and nail him. It's so ridiculous to me that he thinks that this culture war that he's trying to start is going to go in his favor, because especially as somebody who calls himself a Republican, like, his party for decades, for almost their entire existence, has made it a point to be all about business. He's got people that are like hardcore Republicans who are like, nah, this is the wrong move. Why are you doing this? Why are you taking on business in your own state? This is really, really foolish. Like, it's such a bad move. Not only that, it's costing him points everywhere when it comes to his approval rating, but like, ultimately in the end, Disney's going to win. Like, and they're pulling moves from like the Republican playbook, like the whole like changing the rules before the new guard comes in. Republicans are famous for doing that when like there's now a Democratic majority in a seat of power. They're like, well, let's change all the rules before they get in here. Like, they're literally doing everything that he would do, and it's making him mad. And like, it's just making him look like a fool, like over and over and over again. And like, it's to be this stubborn and be this stupid is just baffling to me. Like, why would you bite the hand that feeds in this case? And then like, not only that, why would you potentially threaten the people in your state with higher taxes to pay for the tax burden that would come from dissolving this? But here's the other thing. Here's the thing that nobody is mentioning. You know who else has a special tax district that wasn't even mentioned in any of this? Daytona. The NASCAR facility. Didn't mention that, did they? But no, he went after Disney. This is why Disney is going to end up winning in some way, shape, or form, because every single thing that he did has been political retaliation.
Black Gorbachev, I know you got some thoughts too.
You couldn't pay me to go against Disney. I don't care who you are. Like, I know I made a joke about them with the Ant-Man 3.
I was thinking about that. It's like, wait a minute, yeah, but weren't you? Oh, okay,
Disney,
yeah.
When Disney got you in the crosshairs, they got your name, your social security number, and your birth date, and they know where you sleep at night. They will come with you full bit. And if you think Fox got pants in their last lawsuit, Ron DeSantis has no idea the level of petty. When the contract they throw at you is, we're going to keep this gig until the last descendant of Charles died, and 20 years after that, this is not petty. This is personal. And Disney does well with personal. And Ron DeSantis ain't ready for someone to come for him. That's the biggest problem I had. That's the fascinating part for me. Because to Mike's point, Disney has kept Florida going for a while with their existence. And he's literally he's literally looking at them going, no, I can do better than you. I mean,
there would be no Orlando. There would be no Orlando without Disney. Like, it would not be what it is right now. You think they would have a professional sports team? You think they would have an international airport if it wasn't for Disney? Like, you have lost your mind.
Well, so, the taxes they pay, because, you know, apparently last year, Disney provided the state with $1.1 billion in state and local taxes. They have 75,000 employees there, making them one of the largest employers in the state, like Mike had said.
So make them mad. Make them, like, you know what? Screw it. We're going to California. We're not doing this anymore because of the way you guys are treating us. And screw your entire state over because of a petty grudge. And here's the thing. I don't agree with this. I don't think that this ruling was just at all, but that corporations are people and that they get to have First Amendment rights, which is nonsense for various reasons. But now Disney's using that law or that ruling to their benefit. Hey, we were just addressing our First Amendment rights. These are our beliefs, and he's punishing us for it. That's where he screwed up.
I mean, keep in mind also, here's an example. I used to do a convention in Orlando called MegaCon. It's a good convention. One day I had a commission, and it was a Disney character. I went to Kinko's to have them copy it for me, because I wanted to copy from my own files. The person behind the counter at Kinko's was like, we can't do that. He's like, what? It's a Disney character. He's like, I drew it. He goes, yeah, if it's a Disney character, we can't really help you do that. You have to do it on your own. Like, that's the level of power Disney has in that city. And Ron DeSantis thinks he has a shot. I don't know what ivory tower the man lives in, but he apparently is listening to the wrong people, because his lawyers apparently are not paying attention, because this is one fight that they're pretty much just doing for the money at this point. Like,
well,
as long as your check clears, we'll do whatever you want.
Well, but then on top of everything else, I think there's some irony in Governor DeSantis saying that this is political, because the whole reason this thing started was because he decided to get political because of Disney's stance over over Florida's Don't Say Gay bill. And, you know, when Disney decided that they were going to speak out against that, all of a sudden, Ron DeSantis is like, Disney, who you think you are? Disney. It's like, whoa, Disney is Disney. And just being the most successful politician in Florida in a generation, it doesn't approach $1.1 billion in state and local taxes and 75,000 employees. I mean, I'm going to have to look up how many people the state of Florida employs, because I'm reasonably sure the state doesn't employ 75,000 people, you know?
So here's the interesting thing about Ron DeSantis. Everyone's making it. He's like doing this, but the clear fact is, it's supposedly supposed to be his kickstart to a presidential run. And I guess he thinks fighting Disney will give him this way he needs to pretty much actually announce his candidacy. That discussion, honestly, is for more smarter people than me. But I was just thinking of the people to pick the fight in your own state, where when you look at the pros and cons of their existence versus your state. Can you imagine if you did decide to run and you lose your own state, what that says about you?
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that happens to folks. Mm-hmm. It's called severe miscalculation. So, but again, very fascinating to me that this is even a fight. And really, the culture wars are something that are being fought now. I mean, it's honestly, it's just sad because I think that, I mean, you know, this is just Yuli Campbell personally. I feel like people have the right to live as they choose if they're not hurting anybody. And certainly if their choices aren't hurting me. And, you know, like this whole war against transgender people that's being fought now. And, you know, stuff that isn't even popular. I mean, you know, some state legislatures digging in against abortion when polls all across the country say that people favor freedom of choice. I mean,
it's about control. It's about control. It's always been about control. And it's that you would think if somebody was on the right side, and by right, I mean like the conservative / Republican / crazy side. If you ask them how many people they think are transgender, they would say something like, I don't know, 25%. It's something like 2%. It's like a fraction of that, I think. I think it's even smaller than that. And they think it's this huge issue and that it's like affecting the children. Oh, won't somebody think of the children? The same people who were saying you can't ever have an abortion for any reason whatsoever, but as soon as that kid is born, we're not helping you for nothing. Figure it out yourself. So like, I don't really want to hear them like gnashing their teeth and wailing about the children when they do nothing to help people.
There's some irony there for sure. But unfortunately, we are out of time for this episode. I'd like to thank my panelists and you too for tuning in. Of course, Fantastic Forum re-airs here on WERA each and every Sunday from 4 to 5 p.m. Show is also available, thanks to our friends at the Great Geek Refuge, as a podcast. You can download it and take it with you on all those platforms where you find your favorite podcasts. And of course, the show is in first run here on WERA each and every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. Visit our website at fantasticforum.tv. You can see the television version. You can see all the segments broken out. You can listen to the radio version. And if you're interested in some of our movie reviews, you can check those out too. fantasticforum.tv. Give us an email, producer at fantasticforum.tv. Let us know how we're doing. And we hope that you come back again next week. Same bat time. Same bat channel, and we hope that you enjoy the rest of your weekend. Of course, next week is Free Comic Book Day, first Saturday in May. We hope that you got some great plans. We're going to be doing some fun stuff too. So, you know, we hope you come back again. Have a great weekend, people.